Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, welcome to Redmen Plus. We made it to 500,000 subscribers on YouTube.
No idea how.
Me, Paul Machen, this guy, Chris Pajak. So we first uploaded content to YouTube back in the summer of 2010. It is now.
What was officially the first? Was it the Keep You Up World Cup?
A referee gets us underway and that's a good kicker.
After some excellent control play for both players, including some wonderful England skill, England finally took the victory in hour 11 after a trip from Zaviesta brought the game to a premature and slightly comical finish.
Xavier is down and out. That's going to be a win for England. But look at that. Xavier clearly trips on the cone.
So, honestly, I can probably find the answer to that question. And if you'd said that to me at any point before us starting to record this, we could have had that answer queued up. So there was the original pilot, which I split up into bits. And then the first new thing we did was around the World Cup, and it was us in wigs doing like a World Cup report.
Yeah.
South African captain Adam Mokoena wishes he'd gone for a wee before he left.
4 o'clock on the 11th of June 2010. I'm going to try to stay as calm as possible.
Fears grow that Jonathan Pearce has been replaced by a robot.
So for all their astute and precise passing, Spain still can't make the breakthrough.
Yeah, and we made up random names for each other while
we were
doing
it. Was that
the one
where you lived above the opticians? Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we've had loads of places
you
where we've recorded.
You called yourself like Barry Nuckins or something like that, or something, I don't know what. Maybe I did that and you called yourself... Do you call yourself like Yusuf Islam or something? I really don't know. Like,
good job we didn't start in 2020, otherwise we'd been cancelled before we even got going.
Big Cat Stevens fan, apparently. we did. That was the early stuff. Because it was the gags, because it was all skipped and it was horrendous. And it was like Rob Green dropping an absolute howl for England.
Did you throw something at me and I dropped it?
We threw the ball. We bought a Jabalani.
reviewed that ball.
We reviewed the Jabalani, yeah, amongst others. But yeah, and that was how it all re-began.
In 12 years, you've still not learned to just wait until the other person's talking before you have a swig of your tea. It's bizarre, really.
Just talk, to be honest. It's a reasonable synergy.
I think by the time we get to 1 million, if you could maybe try and think of doing that, that would be absolutely fantastic.
We learned from Chloe that it's a mukbang, isn't it? Apparently, when you thought it was a mukbang, which was a different piece of content altogether. But apparently, mukbang is when you do content over food and drink, so... we asked people at home to send. Send us their recommendations or their favourite Redmen moments over the years in terms of videos and clips and whatever. We put a Twitter poll together. We'll go through the results of that in a bit. But we also asked the Club Legend Discord from Redmen Plus to send in their suggestions. So basically, we're going to go through a bunch of them and reminisce over them. We'll drop some clips.
I prefer the idea of content over a muff dive, to be honest with you.
Over a muff dive?
Just break and play. Oh, yeah, Liverpool have scored 1-0, right? Back to it.
Fucking hell. No shock. That's out. So, yeah, we went through.
He's going down the wing. It's in.
He's in. He's in through the middle. Yes. So
not grown up in 12 years, at least there's that.
No, no, no. And nor facially have you aged, apparently, in that time as well, which I find... there's a wonderful way you can chart how our lives were going.
Yeah.
It's normally in weight. So there's like, me and you are a bit like Manchester United, where...
Liverpool and Man United are never good at the same times, and we're never thin at the same time.
Neither of us have been thin at the same time. We've both been fat at the same time, but neither of us has been thin at the same time. And there's that little period where you basically look like you were like in a the child. Final stages of, yeah. of a really serious illness. Which is wild to look back on.
I think it went from like 2012 to, I think I was losing weight till 2013. No, probably 2011 to about 2013. And then when I had Robin, then it's just been a steady weight gain ever since. I'm trying to get to heavyweight. I'm there.
The climb.
I can compete at heavyweight
fighting
now.
Fighting weight.
Yeah,
whatever.
Soon enough, it'll be super heavyweight.
Whatever it takes. Yeah, so yeah, it is fascinating much about. And now so much of the early content, it just doesn't exist on YouTube anymore, because we went through, there's years when I was like, I keep it up because it's crap and I find it so cringeworthy, embarrassing. It's horrible, like the production quality, how we talk and all that kind of stuff, and it's so weird, and your voice changes as you get older as well, so we're a bit higher pitched back in the early days and stuff, but we had more sleep in our lives as well, because we went down to that point. But there was a couple of bits where people like took a load of stuff that we don't, because we did that what was it called? Ask the Redmen, where we had a bunch of stuff where people asked us random questions and we said some random shit on there that you could blatantly say back in 2010 and 11 and 12. So we took the decision to take a lot of that stuff off YouTube. But you know, we've got some of it in the archives. So there'll be people. I haven't charted this out. I'm kind of making this up as I go along. Shock. There's maybe like three ages of Redmen. There's like the golden age of Redmen was like the scripted sketch age of Redmen TV, where we used to get Darren Farley in every week to do like Gerard or do we had a feature called Couch Corner.
Hello there, I'm Dirk Cad, and welcome to Dirk Cad's FA Cup Corner, where I'll be answering all your queries and problems that you have.
Yes,
where he used to date characters as an agony aunt, which was always interesting.
It was when he did the biscuits one for me though, and the old Wolves manager,
Mick McCarthy.
Yeah, I was going to say the Irish manager as well. Like that was the best one for me. I just absolutely broke down.
My favourite was phone hacker.
Oh, that was good.
And we got him in like a balaclava thing, and basically put on voice like he was hacking different footballers.
Genius.
Yeah, phones and stuff. Yeah,
we should do more of that shit.
We should very much do that. But yeah, that was the initial thing. So Redmen originally began as like a Soccer AM style sketch comedy show with a little bit of football.
Except
chat.
We started bad and got good, and they started good and got bad.
Yeah, my favorite from the pilot, and it's still one of the gags. I think that holds up over time, and a lot of it doesn't.
Anfield exercise?
No, God, no. I mean, yeah, I still like that as a concept.
I laugh every time it happens in the stadium.
It was very much a one and done gag of the idea that Anfield exercise required people to go and do some exercise. Is doing Vern and Kay, doing like a Family Fortunes.
You nervous? As well you should be. Right, before the break, I asked you to name a cathedral.
Name a centre-half, beginning with A. You said...
It was iffy, wasn't it?
You said, Anson.
Anson.
You've got to make yourself laugh. And the other best, my absolute favourite sketch ever was all the Hicks and Gillette stuff. And that was pretty much the end of the sketches for us. It was like... Once the Hicks and Gillette stuff went, we became a little bit more few and far between. We did a few for the FA Cup final against Chelsea. So we did like Skirtle being chained up in the garage and being let loose to kill Torres. And like...
do you remember the Neville one with the balloon?
Yeah. And then we did the Gary Neville, the G-Nev... bum fluff razor advert. You did a public service announcement for why Gary Neville should never be allowed to be a commentator on Sky Sports by the pond in our garden, where you put your foot up like uncomfortably high on stuff, like, you know what I mean? That very much, and there's people who were watching Redmen who got no concept that we did any of this stuff, because back in the day where we used to film once a week and work other jobs. And I'd sit around editing all week. You see these YouTubers now, and they do one or two videos like a month, and you're like, yep, That's what happens as opposed to the absolute machine that is Redmen now.
7,283 videos it might be now. Mm. It was 7,282 yesterday. We've done a podcast since then. That's just YouTube. I reckon we're well over 10K in videos in total because there's... I reckon there's probably 6,000 close to website videos over the course of the last 11 years. Because there was a point where we did a handover and there was close to 4,000.
Yeah.
Which is mental to think how many... There's just crazy amount of videos. It's just stupid amount of videos.
No, and yeah, it's absolutely right. And there's just ones, because again, it's just the time it takes. Like, people have mentioned the Champman series. That was probably the last hurrah of of us doing sketchy stuff. Because the Hicks and Gillette stuff, again, it remains my favourite thing. And it's still, I love almost every joke in that. Of me doing Tom Hicks's, he's just had the club epically swindled from him, and he does the Sky Sports interview with the picture of the stadium in the background, and I had the ball cap and went into like the spare room in ours, and then drew all over this drew a shit version of the stadium on the back of this piece of card.
So Tom, how do you feel about the ultimate sale of Liverpool Football Club?
Shocked, angry, pain, anguish, suffering, nauseous, cold, raped, facially, molested, and disappointed.
And it's just that there was like, and again, not like I'm necessarily proud of it in any way, shape or form, but like there was a throwaway 9/11 gag in there, which sounds, I mean, again, it is what it sounds like. It's fucking stupid, but like, again, when you look at us for what we are now, it's like, what the fuck are you doing? But when it was at the time, when you're doing comedy, loads of people were doing that kind of, you know, edgy South Park, you can take the piss out of sort of anything stuff. That very much aged poorly. But all the other gags in it, I adore. Like, we were big into Eastbound and Down at the time, and just did me Kenny Powers impression for Tom Hicks and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, very, very good stuff indeed. But yeah, we grew and we professionalised. We were talking about it on the podcast before. After the end of the first season, we decided to launch the website, and you know, on the back of like 5,000 subscribers, everyone thought we were absolutely nuts, and it's kind of worked out all right since then.
Yeah, it's a bit mad, really, isn't it? I mean, I remember that first conversation with Kat when I told her I was going to put the money in to do it, and it went well, to be fair. Like, but there was always that, like, really, like we've just bought a house. You've got a job that's paying okay, we're doing all right, and you're gonna get a loan out specifically to do this. And I was like, yeah, well, like, you know what I mean? It's one of them things. And she was there, and you know, our wives have been there the entire time, obviously, and backed us and stuff. It was that first week when we didn't get any subscribers that was the major issue. That was when it was really like, oh, great.
It was that first.
Because we released the DVD, and that was the litmus test, wasn't it, for it? And we were like, oh, we sold 200 DVDs. We can definitely do this. We can do a subscription channel. There was no subscription channels in the world then.
No, it was mad. That
Netflix hadn't hit the UK until 2012.
Yeah, they call them streaming services now. It wasn't called, no one knew what it was. There was no name for it.
The only thing that you could subscribe to was porn and love film. That was it.
Yeah, that's true. All true. There's a mad like sliding doors moment in our history at the end of that first season where you've been offered a share in like a restaurant in Leeds, and you were gonna move away to do that, and that was like if you go away and do that, then I don't really know what happens with Redmen, because that means you're not there anymore, and it's back to it'll just be me on my own, and I didn't have the financial clout to take it on to the next stage or whatever. And then you decided to stick around, and then that was the summer where we invested and built the website and all that stuff. I often wondered, I've never asked you this before, how much a part did us going to see BDI and you having a rampant case of the wildies and me standing by you throughout that entire gig.
It was all of it, really, to be honest with you. The 13 times I went for a shit during BDI was it when I realised that, like, you know what, I don't need to put a ring on that finger. He's there through thick and thin all the time. Like, I mean, there was a point where I had to run into the frigging women's and apologise to them as I flung them out the way and had the shit and then ran back outside.
I loved it. I always thought
to stand back.
The long-term future of Redmen TV was born because Chris had diarrhea at BDI, and everyone else went off to enjoy the gig, and I stuck diligently by his side.
To be fair, you were closer to the stage than if you'd have stayed at the back with the lads.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously, there's tons of moments along the way. So I always talk about the one where I was at a wedding just before we launched the website, and people who knew me from uni were like coming over and going like, "Have you heard what Scouse is doing? What's he doing? Doing this? Ah, you know, no one's gonna watch that. No one's gonna do that. Fucking yeah." And Charlie punts me on time and goes, "Just ignore them. Be fine. Be absolutely fine." Just again, the long-suffering wives who've probably sacrificed more for this all to exist than either of us actually has along the way. But yeah, having their support made a huge difference to the whole thing. Right, should we go through some of the mentions?
Let's do it.
Right. So,
and the number one has to be the Alison.
It has to be. We'll come to what we'll do is we'll read through the, because I'm just going to go chronological order of how responses came in on Discord, and then we put a poll out on Twitter and we'll go through the results, because Dan whittled it down to 8 biggest moments and then 2 were voted in each of the four strong categories for them. So first mention, and literally coming straight off the top there, from Castiet saying Mates' reaction to Alison scoring has to be up there. From Trent, Alison Becker! I think there's a little bit of recency bias in a lot of these things, of course, because of course a lot of people went around for the golden age where we were getting 500 views a video and stuff in the early days. I do remember, our first ever 5,000 view video. I remember that being a big thing, and that was when we got Layla in to model the Liverpool Standards Corrupted protest kit. And I remember making
all for
that
a good cause. Good cause.
It's good fun, that. People forget that sometimes. Like, we manned the barricades when we were challenging the ownerships at the time, in our own unique way, by donning wigs and doing, it was Zoolander. Yeah, it was a take on the Zoolander Dante pose-off thing.
Blue steel.
Yeah, absolutely. But the Alison one, yeah, that mad. That's a moment where people mention that loads to us when we went to Vegas and LA, and that's one of those moments where you forget sometimes that people are watching you, and that's a moment like my mum and dad have seen and my kids have seen, because it was just such a huge moment in Liverpool. Like, and there you go, is my
the reason it's one of my absolute favourites. It's just not you. It's just you're normally so composed and thinking about what the outside world is sort of thinking. So to see you just completely fucking let go, and I think it's born out of the fact that you were a goalkeeper as well. I think it just is, and it's just like I was in shock. Everyone expects it to be me, and it was just you, and it was just the fucking greatest thing.
It was like the living dream of every goalkeeper is to get themselves up and get contact on it. I love it because Liverpool have never really had that moment. So I love Paul Robinson did it, and the team is Jimmy Glass one many years ago. But the idea of Liverpool's goalie, and because we've had a couple of them moments, and you can kind of sense them, can't you? And you don't really verbalise them, but I have a lot of this internal dialogue on my head. I had it with Carvalho's late winner at Newcastle. Well, we're going to have to do something from this. So it's either abject disappointment or we're going to score within the 97th minute here. And when you stick it in, you've kind of learned that Liverpool do have these moments, but that was it. It was like one last attack. We're either going to be playing Conference League footy or we might be able to keep this thing rolling on another couple of weeks. And we've been locked in here for the entire season, watching all the games on the telly. And that, I remember you saying, I just can't get into the footy. I don't feel anything for the football. It's like watching a shit TV show, because again, we were shite that season as well. We were here for 6 back-to-back home defeats.
There was a point where it was literally just me and you
as
well, because everyone had bloody COVID and stuff, didn't they? So it's just me and you doing it. It's like we're not even speaking to different people. And
we had that week from hell. I referenced this in the office through the week, where we played 3 games in a week, and I can't remember what all of them. One of them was definitely Arsenal, and we played Monday, Thursday, Sunday, or Monday, Wednesday, Sunday. One of them was a cup game in that, and everyone was off with COVID. We had to lock everyone down, and we kind of bent the rules, and us just came in here because we were like, well, we've got no business if we don't come in here. And you moved the, because we've got, for those who don't know, we've got like another room through here, which is the gallery, which has got the nerve center of the operations, all the production computers and all the mixing equipment and all the streaming equipment's all in the other room, which is where Si is right now. We had to move it all here. Into the other, just next to you, so we were doing it, and it was like all the things that, like, updating the scores. Shit, I've not updated the score again.
It became quite fun because of it, because everyone was just laughing at us trying to fucking spin plates.
But we finished that first game, and we kind of looked at each other and we're like, oh, fucking boss are we? We've nailed this. What are we doing paying all these guys to do this? Think about how much more money we could make if we just didn't have all these productions. We're just doing ourselves. This would be great. This would be great.
By the third game, we're like, fucking hell. I'll give them a fucking payday.
I never want to do this ever again. Yeah, oh my God. So yeah, Alison Becker, dear God. Alison, that was that thing where, because doing the commentary, I quite enjoy doing the commentary, because it's something I always did playing games as a kid. Being an only child for years, and my sister being so much younger than me, spent a lot of time playing footy games and stuff on your own, and just commentating the games along to yourself. So I always quite enjoyed that. But I always think about, like, what, you know, when you have those big iconic moments, what do you say? And those Peter Drury coming out with pure art, and what do? I just shout Alison Becker at the top of my voice, scream and take my top off. Like, it wasn't quite the poetry I imagined.
It was better for it. Yeah, I mean, if you could get me a fucking cam on Peter Drury losing his shit and taking his top off, it would go viral as well. So
this is true. Absolutely true.
Do you, on an aside from all this, do you find that your kids narrate their life? So Robin has really started to narrate her life, and I realised this because she's watching fucking YouTubers who tell the audience the entire time what they're doing. So she's walking into the kitchen going, right, I'm just walking into the kitchen now, and I'm going, shut up. Like, I'm just gonna get this biscuit. I'm like, shut up. Stop the get the biscuit.
Robin went to the kitchen to get a biscuit.
Just stop it.
It was dry.
Please.
Her parents had let them down on the shop once again.
I asked him for bourbons, but he brought me custard creams.
No, and this is the reason why my kids don't, they want to do YouTube, and they don't think about how an audience would perceive. So I've done a couple of times where they've gone, like, take your iPod and go and film some stuff, and they presume that because they can see it with their eyes, that, like, people will be able to see what they can see, and not, like, you've got to point the camera. So no, but that's amazing.
It's fucking really irritating, Paul. Really irritating.
Hey, listen, if you'd had the awareness that they've got towards content, we'd have had a much easier time in the early days. Sad. Stephen Somerville, 123, says, my favourite Redmen moment was the time when the post-fan cam celebrations happened after two of the great Anfield Champions League nights against Barcelona and Manchester City. I don't remember.
They're all a blur. They're all the same thing.
Yeah.
And we just get forced back into the frigging food van at the back. Mm. And then people climb up on the top and we go mental. I don't know what happened in any. Couldn't tell you what happened in any of those
things.
They
were the reasons why we stopped using wired microphones, though, because we were getting trampled, basically, when people swamped us. I do remember Dortmund, though, because I remember walking out of Dortmund, and people were out in the street celebrating. There was a video of just people coming up and screaming in my face and jumping up and down just outside the gates of the cop. And then that was the first time ever we had pandemonium where we filmed, and you're right, and people were climbing up on top of the containers and celebrating and all that kind of stuff. But the one that stands out is a shit one from that. It was 13-14. Which was great, but us singing we're going to win the league after beating Manchester City. And now you're going to believe us, and now you're going to believe us, now you're going to believe us, we're going to win the league. And then spending that summer, that was one of the first times, where people were dragging up content and using it to laugh at us and going, oh, look at these laughing. They said they were going to win the league and they never. And I remember having it out with a guy who ran some Man United channel. I think they're probably long dead and he's probably grown up and got a life at this point. But he... it was like, oh yeah, and I remember having a big, like, back in the day when I used to engage on social media and saying, yeah, I'm not embarrassed that we celebrated that outside, but that was like, yeah, I used to enjoy that. It was the nights when we'd drawn 0-0 and it was a midweek and no one would turn up to talk.
And it was cold.
And you'd get people going, yeah, and it was a game of football and yeah, it was good, and be like, oh my God, are we putting this out? This is fucking horrendous. But it was always like, and there's one that will definitely get mentioned. I think one that will probably be voted our biggest moment of all time comes from those filming sessions, but they were so few and far between. When it banged, they fucking absolutely banged.
I think my favourite ever one was the young lad. Not James, because I think we're going to come on to that, but the
77 quid
ticket ones. And and he was talking about it being a tourist club and all that type of stuff. And because there's the Irish
fellow with the quid,
flat cap.
£77 a ticket, are you mad? Are you crazy?
With the 77, but it's becoming a tourist club.
I think it's a sign of the times, not just Liverpool, but modern footy in general, is that it's just, Liverpool is like a tourist club now. And I think most of the top six in the Premier League are tourist clubs. And I think it might have gets the Klopp.
And I remember thinking, oh wow, we're onto something here, because this is like the first probably viral one that's gone for good reasons.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, that's boss, because all the other channels are going viral for the hate of their football team and calling managers out and all this type of stuff. And we've managed to get it somehow where it goes big because of things that are actually affecting football fans. It didn't quite turn out like that in the end,
but
I thought that one was one of my favourites.
I've never seen
him again either.
No, it's mad. It's like a one and done, turned up, made an eloquently well made point about,
knocked it out the park, just walked away with his home run, came back.
That's true. It's because his point was about like people sat in the seat eating pizza and popcorn watching the footy instead of engaging with the atmosphere and singing songs and all that kind of stuff. And it wasn't, he said about the tourist club, and that was the thing that often gets confused. I've seen a couple of people getting into hot water over how you talk about this, because social media is not very nuanced. And we've always said on this, it's tourists, and I mean genuine tourists. I don't mean
people who come in for the game who are Liverpool fans.
Exactly. Technically, you're a tourist because you might have flown in from America, and it's your first time at Anfield, and you're going to go and do the sights around Liverpool. So you are technically a tourist, but I mean tourists like when you go to New York and you go to, you know, what you had to do the week when we went to LA. You were effectively a tourist in LA and you went to watch the Raiders.
I wasn't a Raiders fan. No. I went to watch the Raiders.
Yeah.
That's being a frigging tourist in a game. I shouldn't have been able to get tickets for the first home game of the season when Nelly's playing at half time, but I did because of touts.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's like people going, Beatles tour, Albert Dock, Matthew Street, Cavern, go to watch a football game in Liverpool. And if you're having a round at Liverpool,
we've
experience.
Seen it. There was one that came out from the game against City where there's a fella taking a selfie of himself and he's got a Man United phone cover.
Yeah.
You know, and I've seen them where, you know, recently as well, you know, Man United like Crocs. I mean,
yeah.
I didn't know Crocs could get worse, but they did. And apparently it's Man United branding that did it. Yeah. Well, fair play to you. Apologies if you're wearing Crocs for this.
Yeah.
I understand that some people like comfortable wears and are old. This one's for you.
I can't bring myself to buy or because I know I will adore the feel of them, and that'll be me done. Then, like that's game over. It's like being it's like in Debenhams or something in the Trafford Centre, and where the women's changing rooms is like by the nightgown section, which is like all the stuff that you would almost see like an Enid Blyton novel that someone's grandmother would wear, and it is the most horrifying section to be in, because there's a point where if you're buying that, then your life's over. It's like basically
the thing is, I can totally relate, because I love a woolly jumper, and I like a woolly jumper more than a hoodie or a sweatshirt nowadays. I just think they're welcome for it.
Sexy in a woolly jumper, though. Woolly jumpers are good. Woolly jumpers are a different beast there, Chris. But yeah, that guy. But again, just to the point about never had a problem, and I don't get. I'm not down with this idea of people can't come and pay. When it's a pilgrimage, that's different. That's not just going, oh well, I'll just go because I'm having some sort of City of Liverpool experience.
Liverpool fans come over for the game.
It should be fine.
Tourists are people who are in the northwest and decide to go to a game of football, not people who've planned the holiday around the game of football.
Yes, exactly.
That's as simple as it needs to be,
and that's a difference. And again, gets lost because people just have a bit of it's like people who say like everyone with a phone out at the football match is bad. It's not, you know what I mean? It's the people who do stuff but don't engage with the football match or don't watch the football match is what's annoying about all that kind of stuff. But yeah, though, that guy was absolutely fantastic. Some of the post match stuff was some of our absolute best stuff the human emotion is capturing that on film is always there, always a big thing for me. Right, okay, cool. The Jith has got loads, actually, but we'll start with him saying, Chris Page acts happy in 2014.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And when Paul started trolling Chelsea players in the mix zone. So,
oh,
happy.
That was a brilliant one. That was in America, wasn't it?
Yeah. So, happy, I think people will know by now. So, we did think we were going to win the league in 2013-14. So, ahead of time, we thought, well, we're about to end the, whatever that was, 24-year wait for a league title. We need to do something big to market. So, we in advance, we started filming, Pharrell's Happy was big at the time. So, we made our own version. We got a bunch of, kids in from Lipper who were all dance students.
I met one of them at the FA Cup final this year, one of the dancers. I was like in the queue going into the fan park outside the ground because we couldn't get into any pubs. I think it was the FA Cup. It was either the FA Cup or the Carabao, I can't remember. Too many finals to go to. And I was in the queue and I saw this girl in front of me, a woman in front of me, and I was like, that's one of the dancers from the friggin' Happy video. And she was with another fella, it turned out to be her dad, and she turns around and went, excuse me, and I was like, Happy video? And she's like, yeah. And it's like, I fucking knew it. I absolutely knew it. Which was just a random thing because I've not seen her since that, obviously. Yeah.
How amazing. I'm sure how many times you watched that video back. well, that song's dead forever.
It is dead forever. Aki's kid still calls me friggin' that, you know what I mean? And every time I'm at their house, he wants me to dance to that. And, oh, okay.
No, thanks. but obviously we didn't win the league, and then we had to go. Liverpool fans are still happy, and we were. You know, it was still a hell of a season, but in hindsight, it was a shame. But we put too much work into it, not go out. The Chelsea players, in the mix zone. So yeah, we mix zones are rubbish, and I would never do this in a Premier League fixture. But in pre-season, it's a laugh, and it was just no one was stopping, so it was just like trying to get a reaction out of players as they went past and saying stuff. And I've done a few of them, and I do.
They're funny.
I enjoy them. I enjoy them in a big way.
Oh, there you go, Matic. I recognise him. The man, you don't sign for Man United, mate. No, don't know who any of these guys are. Oh, it is, it's Pedro.
That was John Terry. I've just, you know what, I had a big opportunity there with John Terry, and just, you know what, I've had to internally curve myself there. It was a terrific opportunity.
We've been chanting a lot this evening.
Yeah, it was a terrific opportunity for comedy and also to never be allowed anywhere near professional footballers again. So I've self-censored. I'm not proud of it. I'm not proud of it. And I apologise to everyone watching at home expecting something more from me there. I'm so sorry.
But we know what you were thinking, and that's the main thing. We all sang along with you.
He's thinking about his mum now, it's fine. Diego Costa, oh, he's tried to drop the shoulder and go that way. Good lad.
That may as well have been his middle finger.
That was amazing.
They were they were very good at it. The best one was, I don't even know if that was that tour, but I let Mignolet go on one game and then made a joke about it. I don't really want to interview him. And no one stopped the next time. And I tried to get him and he blanked me. And I was like, oh, yeah. And I got absolutely pocketed by Simon Mignolet. He played me in a big way there.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with Plush Care. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend.
But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Right, sad. Okay, let's move down the way. Castieta, was it Pajak who ended Markovic's career before it started? That was brilliant.
3, 2, 1,
I enjoyed that. That was brilliant.
So, the wider story of this goes, we had a sponsorship deal with Vauxhall. We were told, we said, right, we want to do the Xabi Alonso challenge. People don't even remember we did this anymore. We had our signature skills trick was trying to recreate Xabi's Newcastle goal. So the ball gets played back to you inside the other half of the centre circle and you've got to lob the goalie. And we did a few of them. And we were fine. We'd done the academy, we'd done Mould, we'd done AFC Liverpool, and we'd done our mates for the original pilot. And we were finally going to get Liverpool players to do it. And we asked them to
save up their player appearances, so we had to wait like 4 months because they got one player appearance a month, and we were banking them basically all for the same day for it. And we went down, didn't we? And we got told no.
Yeah, so they basically they fucked the schedule up, and we had an extra film crew with us and everything to make sure we captured it like absolutely like spectacular quality. And we were originally meant to have, like, I think Balotelli was meant to be one of the original ones, and they just said we can't do it, right, Charles? So we had to wait.
It was because of the days they're allowed to kick the ball hard, if I remember correctly. So the coach was like, no, they can't kick the ball hard today. That's tomorrow or the day after. And we were like, and that was a bit of an eye opener for me that was even a thing. To be honest,
we understand that better now because Jürgen talks about recovery days and stuff. But this is obviously pre-Jürgen. This is Brendan. This is before anyone really knew how teams, you know, prepared or pre and post games. So anyway, like a month later, we finally get to go back, and they went, right, you can't do it outdoors. You have to do it in the indoor pitch. And I'm like, well, the indoor pitch isn't big enough. It's effectively half a pitch, and with no distance behind the goal lines. People have seen the videos of it. They ended up with the mural painted on it with all the trophies, but it's just got a full size goalie that end inset into the wall. And we're like, well, it's not long enough to do this. And they went, well, okay, well, you've got the players for like an hour, just do something with them. And that was when I'm sure people will mention it, but we convinced them to do dizzy pens. We did American Shootout, which is where you ruined Lazar Markovic,
and where Sterling ruined me.
And we did a crossbar challenge, yeah. A lot of the Sterling stuff never made it out because by the time we got it cleared...
What was the other one we did? It was like a keep-you-up challenge of some description.
Okay, yes.
It was amazing.
Yes, it was fly-away keep-you-ups. So it was like, it was one-on-one, stood next to each other.
And they were like pushing each other and stuff.
They had to push each other while doing keep-you-ups with fly-away footies. That was really good, that one.
So
keep-you-up
and kick is one of it, yeah?
Yes, start off.
You dropped it.
Yes.
And the end of that, of course, was when you were screaming in Sterling's
and
face.
So I ripped the old Smithy James Corden thing where he told off the England team. So I did it was Coutinho, Markovic, Sterling,
Ibe.
And I went down the line and like gave them all like a telling off or whatever because they've been shite that season. Brendan Rodgers, well, penultimate. What he obviously survives to the next season. It was the one that ended with us getting twatted by Stoke. And basically, Sterling's contract negotiations were being a pain, and I did a bit of like, get your contract sorted, get it all sorted, and get yourself back in the team or whatever. And he laughed his head off. And we always thought about how we've always got a soft spot for him because he was so sound with us on that shoot.
And even then, when he knew he was leaving, then, and even at the end, he was like, "Look, if these come back, I'll do it with them."
Yeah.
And we were like, "That's fucking sound." And I think he was the sort of ringleader of the group as well because he was this senior English player of what we've got. Markovic, obviously new to the club. Coutinho, language nowhere near as good. He kind of G'd them all up and was like, come on.
Well, the Dizzy Pens, we were trying to explain Dizzy Pens, and we'd just done it a few weeks before, and we were showing them the video. And like, again, we showed Sterling, and he was like crying with laughter watching it. We were like, yeah, do you want to do it? And he was like, yeah, up for it. And the guy who like was looking after them was like, oh no, I'm not sure about that. Because it was meant to be 20 spins, and we had to a negotiation process. And they were like, they went,
10.
Can they just turn around? And I'm like,
No, because they're not going to be dizzy. They're basically doing an 180 degree turn to kick a football. So we negotiated them down to 10. Or they negotiated them down to 10.
We in the end.
Did we?
I think so.
But anyway, they got down from 20. And then what happens? Coutinho literally goes first, I think, and stacks it on his face. And we're going, oh, I mean, this is content gold. But we played Chelsea that weekend, and that was that we were like, oh my god, what if they're shit at the weekend because we fucking ruined these players? I think we lost that game. But there was tons of stale and stuff that never made it into the final edits because then by the time it got cleared, the season was over and he was leaving, and we weren't allowed to have him in stuff because. And I don't know what made it into the final edits.
There was the BBC interview and stuff came out around at the time when we were doing it. I think there was one video where we had to cut him out of.
Yeah, and I don't know. I think he's in Dizzy Pens, yeah. But I don't think he's in American Shootout.
I think he is.
He's in the Keep You Ups one.
I think it's the speaking at the end we never released.
We never released that at all. We got zero clearance for that. We put that out as a Christmas special on Plus. But one of the videos he's not in, and I remember him being in it because I edited it with him in it. I feel like it might be Shootout he's not in, but it's because we weren't allowed to have him in by that point. But in the Shootout
It's the Shootout because he's not in the title. It's Coutinho, Markovic and Ibe.
Sterling absolutely destroyed you in that.
Amazing. Yeah. Like, it was mad because obviously, like, you know Raheem Sterling's fast.
Yeah.
Like, you know that he's quick. And I knew what way he was going to go. And I'm thinking to myself, well, look, if I leave my feet, I'm quite a big lad. My terminal velocity will get me down to the ground pretty fast. He was gone.
Yeah.
Like, I knew every time what he was going to do. And he runs up to you fairly slow and then he just knocks the ball 10 yards past you and it's like he's jumping. He's boom, there. And you're like, how the fucking hell has he got past me? I've never played footy against anybody at any fucking level that was so overpowered in terms of computer game. Like, he was ridiculous.
Yeah, no, he was. And I think Coutinho tried to be clever on one, but Markovic paid the price for your never say die attitude of, like, you know, you were like at his feet, gnawing at his ankles.
Yeah,
I was
going to take him out if needs be. I didn't want him playing against Chelsea.
That was great. That was an absolutely fantastic day. And it's a shame that I don't even think it exists on Plus anymore. We did put them out in our Christmas special many years ago, well after the fact. We might have it in the archive somewhere. We'll maybe try and dig that out at some point. But yeah, it was the full versions of them were brilliant. I had such a good day doing that stuff. And they've never let us that near to the players ever again. Couple more shouts.
Not when we decide the content anyway.
No, yeah, 100%. Quad Bod saying Tilly Gillemans deserves a shout.
Yes,
yeah, Errol.
Yeah, obviously Errol, mate. Just ridiculous, isn't it?
It's stick or twist time for us. And it's either we're going to die in the bed that we've made with these players and have that loyalty to them, or we get ruthless and say, do you know what? There's a Yves Bissouma over the road there. We can get him from Brighton underneath Arsenal's nose. And there's a Tilly Gillemans. Tillemans. There's a Tillemans down the road.
You made some of the best points I'd ever heard on this show, on this channel, and then say Tilly Gillemans straight after, and it's all for nothing. We've forgotten everything that you
said. I was so engrossed in this fucking little spiel then.
That was when he broke into the hearts and minds of the Red Men TV viewers with that one.
Yeah, because he was trying to say Yuri Tielemans.
Was it a final word show?
I thought it was a watch along initially, maybe. I think
I was on it with him. It was a studio, so there was three of us, wasn't there?
Tilly Gillemans.
So you can't hear this side shouting studio show. Yeah, I think it was three of us.
Jith saying the Gerrard voiceover was fantastic.
That's an old one.
One of my favourite ones, again, from the Darren Farley era was doing the Christmas CD. So we did it like a TV advert for, you know, when you buy those JAG CDs and all the songs come down the sides.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fall that is and ride on a one and open sleigh.
One of my favourite moments is when you write something and then
it comes together exactly how you dreamed. And that Jith also points out, and we've mentioned it, obviously, James Redmond.
The one that I'm mentioning now, Sadio Mane. I said it last time I was on it, he's the best football player in the world. I don't know why people... Why he's laughing for? What, Chris, why are you laughing for? Why are you laughing for? I'm being serious. No, you see, I'm talking facts here. I don't do if, buts and maybes. I do absolutes. And, you know, like, if your aunt had balls, she'd be your uncle. But she doesn't, so she's not. Do you know what, I'm trying to say?
So, not really, but I'm loving the way you say it.
Do you know what I mean?
Who I gave a little kiss to post-match on after the City game. He was doing his videos by at the park or wherever they film. But yeah, James has got a couple of big moments for us. And it's mad because I never really thought anything of it at the time. You know, he's doing Sadio Mane, you know, best in the world, and all that kind of stuff. To the point where it had long since gone viral, and I went back in and changed the title of it because I was like, oh, this is coming up everywhere. And I'd not give it, because it was well after the fact that it really, really, really took off. And now we still have a point where it will have changed, or will continue to change with Mane moving on. But we joke that it's still our most viewed video on a month-to-month basis. And it's probably our most viewed video, I'd guess.
Yeah, I imagine so.
But it's
easy enough to find out. Yeah, I'll find out.
But it's I love that because James turned
4 million views now. next one's Albion Muslim 2 with 2.6 million. Then Webster and Madrid.
James had been turning up for a while. He'd been hanging around the background and he'd done a couple of little bits and pieces. And then he has a couple of videos there where he just comes in, absolutely smashes it. It was the TikTok era when people were doing TikTok voiceovers to James's lines from that, and that's really? When I realised it crossed over to beyond something I ever understood. So yeah, out of interest, mention it there. So yeah, I do absolute man, he's the best in the world. 4 million views 5 years ago. Albion Muslim 2, 2.6 million views 4 years ago. Jamie Webster plays Ale in Madrid, 1.4 million views 3 years ago. Origi's goal and Trent's quick corner explained, 1.3 million.
That was the one when I did in front of the telly. I did not know that was over a million.
Yeah, there you go. It's just you pointing at a picture on the telly.
Because it went up to like 100,000 in like a week. And I was like, wow, that's done well. I've not given it a second thought since.
Yeah. Mo Salah, the Egyptian king, very early doors, won that one. 1.2 million. Fields Anfield Road with Jamie Webster.
My word. 1.1. The mad thing is, that's the only video in that sort of top 10 where we've actually done anything.
Yeah. Well, it's hilarious because, just going down the list, Paul Scholes, Ginger Mank Twat, got
a million
views.
That was the first million, wasn't it?
That was our first genuinely viral video. That was in the Bernabeu, and we were right at the back tier. And that was back in the day when you had actually little small cameras that could zoom in, not on phones. And yeah, the Paul Scholes and the post-match team were stood on the touchline, and Liverpool fans just started singing down to him. Dizzy Pens would stay. And then Coutinho, 902k. There was a one from a pre-season press conference which Sean Kelly recorded for us when Klopp interrupted Guardiola's press conference. Carragher singing Ale with Jamie Webster, 689k. There you go, the Xabi Alonso challenge with the Liverpool under 21s, 629,000. I referenced Jordan Rossiter on one of the Mates TV videos the other weekend, completely forgot his name, and I was like, I've literally done a video with him when he scores a goal past me from the halfway line, can't remember his name. And then he had to go back and watch that. And then the trophy prayer from the Champions League, 626,000
Battle Keep Ups is a few further down there as well on 402,000 views, which
absolutely,
was good.
Absolutely amazing stuff. Right, okay, let's get back to it. The video we did on Sky with Full Time Devils, Pajak roasting Neville about Valencia. I thought that was me. I did that. Did you roast them as well? When we were in the stands at Anfield with Neville and Carragher and Full-Time Devils.
Yeah, I was in there. Yeah. It wasn't me that made that line.
That was the one where I said, because you were talking about Antonio Valencia, and I said,
yeah. Need to be careful when you say the word Valencia because Gary winces. But I think whoever Man United brutal.
That was where Carragher called thingy Fat Russell Crowe, wasn't it?
Stay out of good, absolutely. A big shout out to you. Not a Redmen video, but one that's gone viral to the test of time is you absolutely destroying Stiehausen on Sport.
Jose Mourinho's walked into a game of Monopoly with Manchester United, right? And he's picked up Park Lane and Mayfair and he thinks he's a genius for putting a hotel on there, right? That's all he's doing with his transfers. His 90 million transfer for Lukaku, his transfer for Pogba, all that type of stuff. He's walked in. Klopp started with Vine Street and Bow Street and Marlborough and all that on the oranges, mate. He's had to put a few houses on there. We've worked our way around to Trafalgar. We've just put our first house on Trafalgar and Virgil van Dijk.
How dare you sit there and say what? Big transfers when you've just spent 75 million on a Chris Smalling?
Chris Smalling, we ripped Southampton off of Virgil van Dijk. He's been incredible since he's come in. People around the league are looking at him.
No, you might think he's been incredible.
What on earth is going on?
Because you've been looking at Rice Krispies and Cocoa Pops at centre-half. That's why you think he's incredible, because he's a half-decent Premier League footballer. That's what you've bought, and you've been rinsed for it.
We have
so you
not.
Can't
we have
talk about United
Southampton
being rinsed.
Big time.
Killed him.
Yeah.
Everywhere. And the City fan, if anyone sees the City fan one as well.
Yeah.
They're like that annoying kid that's down the street that's got rich parents. That's all they are, really. They're a couple of years younger than you and all that, and they're trying to play with the big boys and stuff, and they've got all the new shiny toys, but they don't know how to use them.
Absolutely mullered him everywhere as well.
Yep.
2-0. Unbeaten. Defeated. Maybe I should put that in a Twitter bio, or is that bad?
Yeah, no. Yeah, once owned. Yeah.
No. What's it say on that lad's Twitter? Unbeaten in the baits or something like that.
Oh, right. Yeah.
You know the guy I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah. I think so.
Yeah.
Anyway, various Christmas specials. Someone's mentioned us doing Let It Go.
Let it go, let it go. Can't hold it back anymore. Let it go, let it go. Turn away and stand the door.
We set a target of like 2,000 likes or 3,000 likes on a video and said, if we do, we'll sing Let It Go on the Christmas special. And my God, we did.
We did. We sung it.
We got Disney princesses in. And I didn't, we'd never practiced that and realised, and I should have done, because neither of us can particularly sing. Gets very high very quickly, that song. So we gave it the bifters. And then it devolved into madness very, very shortly.
It always does.
We're
going to watch any of these?
They're all getting put in.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
That's a shame.
Yeah.
I wanted to watch them.
Yeah.
This is shit.
The lockdown quiz.
Sutton's on the piss.
On the piss.
Sutton's on the piss.
Yeah, James Sutton being absolutely catastrophically pissed doing a lockdown quiz.
I got this letter and it was really eloquent, and it was like four sides of A4, and it was really beautifully written about how my storyline on Hollyoaks had really helped him with his sexuality and all this kind of stuff, and thank you and all this. And then right at the end, it was like, P.S. I've been masturbating while I've been writing this letter.
And he got 4 pages. Fair play to him. Wow.
4 pages at beautifully handwritten.
There were like two where it's like, this is the best thing we've ever done. And after that, I was like, yeah, these
I love them. I just had a bucket of beer next to me the whole time. It was absolutely fantastic. It was a little bag, a cooler bag with fucking ice packs and beer in there. It was a good Friday night, that.
Yeah. Kieran Ross is the Christmas advert where we gave Bailey a Christmas present.
Oh, yeah. I gave him a present, all right.
that was brilliant. That was one of those moments, and it happens increasingly these days, but in the early days when someone would come and go, I've got an idea, and I go, cool, that sounds good, go and do it, and then they go away and do it, and I go, that's brilliant. Like that was like a real like eureka moment in us doing this, where other people would go away and make things that were good, that would make me go, wow, that's fucking boss. Scott Hawke says, Alison Becker, the Champ Man series, Pajak ASMR. So yeah, we had those. That was a lockdown vibe where...
Brought that back at the weekend.
Did you?
No, midweek Rangers did a little bit of ASMR.
Where you convinced people that we were going to launch an ASMR channel, basically, because you were doing weird...
Be careful what you say, because it could be getting into fraud.
Wow. We were looking into getting like those, like we can get like a microphone with the
ears.
With the ears
on. We actually genuinely did look into it, but I think we decided that it would be too much of a turn on to have them just sat in the office.
Oh,
all the time.
Yeah, definitely. The early Hodgson stuff as well. So yeah, one of my favourites from that. And I always thought how we handled ourselves around managers and stuff, it always stood apart, because Liverpool have never really been like a rage against managers. And you see, like, I always found it a bit weird, like all the Arsenal fans and the Wenger out. I just thought it was hugely disrespectful. The Roy Hodgson stuff, like we made Hodgson for England t-shirts, and they were because we were on the copy, we were chatting Hodgson for England. That was the joke, because we hate England that much. We wanted to be England manager, which was like the most meta thing
fucking
ever.
Inception.
Yeah,
it was
when he actually ended up as England manager. And we also decided his future with a game of Mortal Kombat 2, which was like where we
finish him.
Yeah, we played Mortal Kombat. We were doing arguments for and against them playing Mortal Kombat, which we weren't, by the way. It was just sensational acting. Pre-recorded the Mortal Kombat content. We sat looking at a camera with two pads in our hands. Yeah, good stuff that. But chat manager, let's talk chat manager series, because it's the one thing that gets most requested. It still for me remains the best thing we've ever made. It wasn't actually a Redmen production. It was a Retro Football TV production, which that channel's still there, by the way. I love every bit of content on that channel. But that would have been 13-14 when we had no European football, so we had like time in our lives.
Was it that long ago?
Yeah.
Was it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we only moved in here in 2015. Oh, yeah.
Well, it was definitely a season. I'm
Must
sure
have
it
been
was
the 15-16 season.
Maybe, yeah. Because we had time to do stuff.
It's very easy to work out, you know.
Yeah, I think you're right, actually. It must be 15-16 because we moved in here in 2015.
April 2015 we moved in here, yeah.
So it would have been that. I don't know how we managed. I genuinely don't know how we managed to juggle that. But ultimately, I go back and watch that, and some of it is very rough around the edges. And it was
6 years ago.
Yeah, it was very, very rough around the edges. But the fact that I still can't believe to this day when I watch that final episode back, and we actually hired an open top bus. And we genuinely paraded the trophy. And it's funny because that trophy is when we won the league title and we did a watch along in here. It's the one that we're celebrating with. We bought that for a throwaway gag.
And then we drove down to film with the DeLorean as well, didn't we, of course, to end it. That's my favourite thing we've ever done, I think, all told. I mean, there's people that you've met and interviews that you've done that are just fucking incredible. Obviously, I'm thinking of Jürgen Klopp and stuff like that there. But when you think of how much work went into that over the course of probably 3 to 6 months, something like that, that's the thing the biggest production we've ever done,
yeah.
I think.
We were doing it week to
week.
And
the best. Who was the best?
And that was one of those where I was editing. I edited that as well. And we had like a little system where like Tom would
shorten
the matches down.
There we go.
Genuinely. No. Like he'd shorten the some of the game footage down. But like all the sketches that I'd be sat there and I'd have my laptop go away with me and be editing bits and pieces. And I genuinely loved doing that. But that was probably my last hurrah in terms of really making content for the channel, because how much went into that was just ridiculous. And that was, of course, when my second child, when Penny was born, and I didn't really have the time, and we became just a bigger enterprise around what we were doing. More content, more games. And then Jürgen Klopp was in charge, and we had
two
games a week, you know, going deep into seasons and stuff, and never really been able to catch up. And again, back into
I think of like the Twitch stuff now and everything else, and like I never used to get watching people play computer games. I just didn't until I started doing it, and I started watching people myself, and I really found it quite interesting and stuff. It was something that was very much a lockdown thing for me, because once sports started again, I was like, well, sports better for me. But of all the things that have gone big on Twitch, I think that was better than anything that anyone's done on Twitch.
Yeah.
I genuinely rate it. Like, they used to be called Let's Plays, didn't they?
Yeah.
And that's the best Let's Play that you've ever seen. You used to see it on Twitter where some lad goes for a Champions League final and FIFA and gets dressed into a suit. Well, we made that into a 12-part fucking series. Bigger and better than anybody's done before, and yet also shit at the same time because of the masks and stuff.
We owned the shitness of it, like, in a big way, because that was always the thing of how do you get this across? And like, and it was like, well, we've just got to lean into it being a bit rubbish. But it was the little touches. So it was things like we'd do the press conferences, but we'd have a camera set up with the flash. So the flashes would be going off just to add that little bit more, just the touches of realism. And I'd be putting sound effects in to add a little bit of hubbub and all those kind of things. And they were still rubbish, but they were just enough production in them to make it feel like it had a little bit more value. And often it was just like just pointing a camera in front of you and letting you just go and just shout random shit in the post-match interviews. It's like you tried to kick yourself in the head at one point.
Galano on a little knife like that. I doubted him, to be fair. I doubted him when he came in, and he's come in and he's just gone boom.
Have that, my sunshine. Have that for Liverpool Football Club. We are the greatest team in the world, and we are going through against Real Madrid, because Real Madrid can suck me because the yes, I'm the best!
That was a warm up for getting Robbo.
Yeah, yeah, honestly. But yeah, there's some stuff. And again, it was the things that we were able to achieve, like the mad moments. So, like getting Heskey in the middle of it, but playing the gag where we did the shot reverse shot
of
interviewing Aubrey with the Heskey mask on. And then in a cut back, it's actually just Emil sat there.
I'm absolutely chocking at the minute. I'd love to sit down and discuss this stuff with you right now. You do deserve a new contract, absolutely. But best thing for you to do is if you go and speak to the boss, go and speak to Chris. He'll sort it out for you, mate. Yeah?
Okay. You sure?
Gaffer, I just wanted to have a quick word about...
Hello? Sorry. Hold on, 1 second. Hello? Hi.
Oh, you've got it lined up.
Babe station.
Listen. I want to sort that contract out now.
No, yeah, that's fine.
You sure?
Yeah, I'll sort it out.
Okay, thank you very much. It's a nice brew, this as well. Cheers, man. It's all we f***ing do.
Come on, mate, you're dancing around and we found out. You didn't even know.
We had Emil in a couple of years ago when we were doing the MXP podcast. RIP that as well, by the way. We showed him it, and he'd never watched it back. So he had no idea that he ex-professional footballer and England international, basically is in a gag where my dick is swinging around behind him in the changes.
He had no fucking clue. Because there's so much going on in that scene, isn't there? You're necking the trophy in the bathroom, I've got me from shopping the belly down.
It's the other half of the body that you never saw on the Alison Becker goal. If you could piece them together, you'd basically see me naked on YouTube. And then Emil just sat there doing a talking head interview. But like, we had Michael Dewberry drop in for a quick sketch because we knew him at the time.
I've still mates with him now. Yeah. Like, which is mad. I play fantasy footy with him. He's in my league in the American fantasy footy. Like, he's terrible at it. He's really, really bad at it. Like, we got together on Zoom, I think it was last year, for with the draft. We did it, and we did it on Zoom, where we all dialed in from all around the world, and Jubri's just there, and I'm having a drink, and he drinks rum and coke, like, and it finished, and me and him just ended up chatting and having a beer for like an hour and a half afterwards, just talking about footy. And I was actually chatting to him about his like time at Leeds and fucking stuff, and playing with like Fowler and all that, because he was part of that team, mad, like, which was mad.
But I think we went down to a Legends game, because the guys at Carragher's Bar got you down and got you involved in the match. So we got to do a couple of bits where you're like talking to them. We had like a mad interview where we'd run out of content and we were really struggling with how to tie the series up. So you have a mental breakdown and go off on like a retreat, and I think we went down to Otterspool Prom, and you had to like find your centre again and then come back for the end of the season and stuff. And then the open top bus again, you can watch that back, and I did like the Sky Sports graphics for it and all that, and I would still contend, like, I found like an advert from the time, so like, I think it's like Smackdown on the PS1 and Deep Blue Sea was on Sky Movies or whatever to put them in, and then we had like loads of Redmen viewers turned up to be in the crowds and all that for it. Just absolute fucking magic. Couple more recent shouts. The Mo Salah goals recreated.
Out of interest, where does Trent actually play the ball from? Is it miles? Yeah.
Yeah. It's about where that blue line goes across.
It's ridiculous.
Roll it.
Sound.
Beautiful! What a goal! Oh, man!
I still contend that didn't get the views that it should have done for how well that ended up put together. That was a very old school Red Men video. Five. Me, you and Tom in our Mo wigs with our Salah shirts and
knee
Tom
sliding.
Yeah. Your knee slide. I say knee slide.
I really, really burnt my legs.
Knee
then.
Hit face plant. Glorious. You couldn't have planned it any better. I couldn't have made you
it
do
was
that.
Brilliant.
Tom trying to recreate Mo Salah goals with his right foot was always funny as well. And the amount of takes it took us to do that, the Everton one.
To get past the first man. Jamie kept tackling us, didn't he, the twat?
Yeah.
Jamie, you're not supposed to. You're supposed to just do what fucking Moreno does when someone runs at him. That's what we should have said. Pretend you're trying to tackle them, Jamie, but he didn't. I think it was our control, to be honest. I think we kept running into him.
Absolutely. Really, really, really fun. Really fun stuff. Probably the worst piece of content that reminds me is we recreated Liverpool's run to the Champions League with dogs.
Messi hits one. Oh, what a goal! That is sensational. It's Barcelona with a big advantage heading to Anfield next week.
Liverpool 3-0. Corner taken quickly. Origi.
Nobody's seen this because it's one of the worst things we've ever made.
Shocking. It went out.
Oh, I know.
No
one's seen it because it's shit. I mean, it's out there. People have seen it, but
it didn't surprise me, to be honest, because I wasn't up for it from the very beginning.
Well, I think this was another Bailey thing where he was like, Everyone loves dogs. Dogs do really well. I was like, fine, well, let's get some dogs and let's do a dog piece of content. Let's do the Champions League run. And this woman convinced us that she had trained dogs that could do things.
Yeah, that's where I felt the idea fell down, is that she lied to us. Yes. Because dogs, they can't recreate goals.
Yeah, they couldn't do anything.
We couldn't do it, Paul.
Yeah,
and we were expecting dogs.
And there weren't enough dogs. And it was if it's out there, the Champions League final recreated dog, you can probably find it. It's quite funny.
There are two purchases that I see were probably the worst ever. I bought I'm looking where it was, an air hockey table.
Yeah,
once. And spending £600 on some fucking dogs. They're the two things that stand out for me with the most ridiculous purchases of my life.
So, think about those, giant ones you get in arcades, and they're huge. They're bigger than this table.
A proper air hockey table.
Proper air hockey table. But it had a football pitch on it, and our former boss at the tavern was getting rid of it, and we were like, oh, yeah, well, that looks good. We can do tactics on it and stuff. But it was in pieces, and it needed wiring to get it set up.
So fucking Lee from Caterfix had to break it to get it out and get it in. And he never basically fixed it again, so we just had
it lay against the far wall of the studio, and we stopped seeing it. And it was like, because it's like a foot deep,
people would come in and go, what's that about, and we'd be like, what? And they're like, that. And we're like, what? And they're like, the air hockey table. Was like, oh, there's an air hockey table there, really?
And everyone, because the production used to be in the far corner of the room, so when you had to move cameras, people had to shuffle along past this thing for years and years and years. And then we finally got a van and got rid of it, bless. Never got used for a single piece of content.
Not one.
Just took up space. Fat Litticus.
I was a little bit concerned that it was actually holding the wall up at one point.
Yeah, it was fucking awful. Yeah, dogs and that. One mention of the biggest game changing moment for me was being at the Liverpool Player Awards, interviewing Gini Wijnaldum, which I was genuinely made up with, and then Jürgen popping his head back in and going, I watch you.
When you're a young lad playing football, these are the games you live for.
Yeah, I watch you.
Jürgen, no, seriously.
I've never tested my mentality and professionalism more than not screaming and waving my hands around in the air, somehow managing to finish the interview with Genie off the back of it when I've got no idea what I said. I barely know what Jürgen said. I've got no idea. I couldn't tell you a single thing that happened in that interview afterwards because I was just like, I'm thinking, I nearly like pied Genie's face off to grab Jürgen and bring him back in.
Yeah, but we still have to play Brighton, so let me first keep us focused on Brighton and then we will talk about Real Madrid.
Very diplomatic, well done, mate. Genie, listen, all the best for the rest of the season, mate. Keep practicing as well.
Keep doing your thing,
the boss is doing it, it must be something like.
But yes, somehow managing to get to that interview and having that moment live. And then, obviously, subsequently, I remember speaking to someone, I think I spoke to Tony Barrett, and go, so Tony, turns out that Jürgen watches us, and he goes, oh yeah, I know, he loves you. And I'm like, fucking hell, Tony, could somebody not have made mention of this before? I'd love to chat to him if that's possible. And then, obviously, that led to a couple of times where we've been lucky enough to sit down and have a chat with the gaffer off the back, but wild. And it led full circle to me and Chloe seeing him after the Strasbourg game in pre-season, and him saying the same thing to Chloe. Chloe going, very quiet and very red-eyed, and just very much just on the edge of collapsing into two. Yeah, because he's absolutely fucking amazing. Should we go to the poll? Do you want to know how we got on with
which videos are in the poll, and let's try and guess it first.
I can't do it without looking at the poll.
You can tell me what videos are in it,
though. I'll tell you, and then so let me just find it first, and then we will go through. We did it. Dan's put two polls out there that people have been able to vote on, so eight things in total, which came from a tweet that we put out, and the Discord group, of course, voting for their things. We've done a lot of content on Twitter since then, so I'm going to continue to scroll down until it shows up. Come on, Chris, do a dance. There was mention made of you doing the your director of football show pitch video, and you're doing your mad little genie of the lamp Aladdin dance.
I love that video.
But master, you're in luck, cause up your sleeves, you got a brand of magic never fails. You got some power in your corner now, some heavy ammunition in your camp. You got some punch, possess ya, who and how. You see, all you gotta do is rub that lamp. Mr. Liverpool fan, what will your pleasure be? Let me take your order, jot it down, you ain't never had a friend like me.
People apparently didn't, but I loved it.
But there's forever this... is, and we've come through all this.
The thing is, you know you're going to get stick for some things, but it's just who I am that I enjoyed that fucking doing that.
The lids who don't get it and don't have that, don't have laughter in their lives or weirdness or like charisma, will find hate things like that. And that we learned that the hard way in the early days from doing the sketches and getting like people going like, what the fuck is this and all that. And then we curbed it all down, but it's never really got away. We've always been idiots, daft idiots at our heart. No more so than
I genuinely love doing that. I had the idea and I saw it in, I think it was Tom's face when I was telling him my idea, and I thought I could see it, and like he was just thinking, fuck's sakes, Chris, that's a lot of work for me for a start, and B, people are going to fucking hate it. And I thought, do you know what, I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
I just don't care. I find it funny. I enjoy doing this type of stuff. It's a fucking laugh. I could sit there and be all boring and wear a fucking tie if you want, but it's not who I am.
Yeah.
I'm not having fun doing it, so fuck it.
We always said, and we've fallen foul into the trap of this over the times, over the years, of like, when we started, no one was doing proper Liverpool coverage, and there was a real niche there. It was like, can we do soccer AM for Liverpool fans? And then it was, can we do actually some analysis and do some heavy chat and do podcasts and all that kind of really in-depth chat? And then everyone kind of did that, and it's like, don't want to be a shit version of LFC TV or Sky. So, and that's what at the crux of it's always been. We just do stuff that do what we think and feel and what makes us laugh, and that's always been it. And it's mad that when people say you choose to do this or you choose to do that or you might be tainted by X, Y, and Z, it's always just come from the same places that we've always just been. The core of it's just always been us titting around and having our opinions on stuff. And then if people like it, people like it. And if they don't like it, they don't like it. But at least when you're putting your own opinion out there and it gets shit, well, it's just me. It just means you don't like me or you or whatever. Well, I can live with that. Better to try and be something, better than being something else and people not liking you for it and then going, oh, fuck, I've put a lot of effort into trying to be that and it's not working. It's probably why people like, let's say, Jürgen more than Brendan, as an example, who clearly
tries to be something,
a bit of a tryhard and that kind of stuff. And when that doesn't work, then people go, well, you've put a lot of effort into trying to be that. But right, two votes then. The first, there were four on the docket. I do absolutes, Dizzy Pens, Barca fan cam, and Ali goal reaction.
Barca fan cam fourth.
Okay.
I do absolutes first.
Yeah.
Ali goal reaction second. What was the other one?
Dizzy
Pens. Oh no. Dizzy Pens fourth. Then, yeah, Dizzy Pens fourth. Switch my four and three round.
Okay, so we're 10.4% of that vote. Dizzy Pens in fourth. Barca fan cam with 17%. My Alisson goal reaction second on 35.4% of the vote, and I do absolute
so
by James
right.
Redmond.
Hey.
37.2%.
Oh, it's close between you and I do absolute, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I'm here every week. fine. Right, second vote then.
Paul, I was fourth.
Champ manager. Champ manager.
And I think that was my vlog.
Yeah.
Barca.
The fan cam.
Fan cam, which one was that?
I guess it's the stuff outside the ground that we, which we don't remember.
I don't know that.
Championship manager, Ronaldo's disallowed goal.
Ronaldo's got one back. It's United 1, Liverpool 5.
I did say 5-2, didn't I?
Yeah, probably. Good goal. Yeah. Good goal, that. Well played. The goal has been ruled off for offside.
Yeah, that was a good one.
I really enjoyed that.
That was a watch along, wasn't it?
Yeah. That was that, like, yeah, eating a biscuit, and you describing the action and just like creasing with laughter. Great, loved it. Championship manager, Ronaldo's disallowed goal, the Hendo 10 documentary, and Salah's goal recreated.
Oh, that's a tough one. That, say them again.
Champ man.
Yeah.
Ronaldo disallowed.
Yeah.
Hendo 10, Salah goals. I was surprised by this one.
Champman in fourth. Hendo in second. Salah recreated in third, and the other one first.
I mean, I think you've forgotten how to do a count up.
I'm going by the order I remember the videos in.
So in first, third, second and fourth. In fourth place, Hendo 10, 16.4% of the votes.
To be fair, like, that's the best people thing. Have been watched.
I mean, like, Si sat in the next room, we've basically just gone through, said the Champman was our best production of all time.
It was.
Hendo 10's amazing. Third place, Championship Manager, 23.8% of the votes. Second place, Ronaldo's disallowed goal, 28.2%. And top, Salah goals recreated,
really?
On 31.6%.
How many views has that got?
Not unlike any of the other stuff that we've covered there. Like,
wow.
Yeah, there you go. People enjoyed me, you and Tom in Salah wigs, really shittily recreating his goals.
Go
ahead. I did the moment ahead. Of like doing the slow motion with the blue smoke and all that kind of stuff behind was a
that was good. We stayed in the pitch, didn't we?
Yeah.
A little bit. Just
the Anfield Community Centre. Sorry about that. Best pleased with us after the end of the film.
Sorry.
Yeah, great. I mean, look, there's millions more, and that comes from a fact. Not like we're tooting our own horn, but as Chris pointed out, we've made over 10,000 videos over the last 12 years.
It's hardly unsurprising that we don't remember lots of them.
Yeah. We've met loads of brilliant people. We've done loads of great things. I mean, there's tons of interviews that we've been able to do. There's tons of games that we've gone to that have been absolutely brilliant. Doesn't come close to touching like the heart-stopping moments of just following Liverpool. You know,
what's your one thing from what we've done so far that you're most, I'm not going to say proud about, but made up about?
I think the Hendo 10 documentary, because that was off the back of, we didn't really talk about it, we can't really talk too much about it, but me and Chris come very close to leaving Red Men at one point, and we'd it been a tough old ride, and there's a point where we obviously did the Hendo mural, we won the league title, and then we really kind of redoubled our focus and efforts. And off the back of that, the Hendo 10 documentary comes around. And on the back of the COVID season where we've been stuck in here, and we'd had a twat time, I'd lost my head with Redmen years before, wasn't really enjoying it, to kind of come back and get everyone back together. And all of a sudden, football's on the way back again as well. And we started asking people, do you want to be involved in this documentary? And the amount of people who said yes. You know, to that point, like, Gerrard's in it, Carragher's in it, Gareth Southgate's in it, Klopp's in it, you know, and more importantly, Jordan's dad's in it. But Jordan's dad said yes, but Jordan said yes to his dad being in it, and his dad had never done interviews before. And around his 10-year anniversary, he did something for LFC TV, and he did something with us. And like the idea that like the Liverpool captain had enough trust in us not to do him dirty, that was a big moment for me. And like, don't get me wrong, there was a mad conversation when I'm on a caravan park with my stress levels through the roof, and Jordan ends up ninging me from the England camp to say, and I'm like, oh, can you just explain to me what issues are, whatever, because he was threatening to, it felt like he was threatening to pull the whole thing, and I was like, I was absolutely in bits, and we had a proper, like, grown-up conversation about it, and we came to an understanding off the back, and I was like, I can't believe that we've managed to reach a level of, like, legitimacy where you can have adult conversations about things, and we've had years of that where people just presume, and it's because of how other people produce fan TV and how other people perceive football fans. You know, God knows we're in the post Paris Champions League final Wales, you know, where fans are being treated like scumbags. We went to a Facebook Football Awards where it was the most condescending thing we'd ever been to a few years back, and all of a sudden to have enough reputation and clout and trustworthiness that you can have those conversations with people, and we got turned down by plenty as well, but the fact that people even had the time to turn us down and not ignore us, like, really keen to
did you mention
down.
Kenny?
Oh God, I didn't mention Kenny. I mean, Kenny was literally sat there, Kenny Dalglish. But, like, Roy Keane turned us down. Brendan Rodgers said he would have done it, but he didn't have the time. But he knocked us back. People actually cared enough to be able to say no to us. That was it for me. I think
the one thing that I'll look back on in years gone by is that we somehow managed to document Liverpool winning the Premier League for the first time.
Yeah.
And that's partly because of COVID and stuff as well. Like, you know, to see that, like, you know, some people have got photographs or programmes from things. And this is just a pure selfish thing, and I get that. But knowing that we can just watch us watching us win the league.
And it is there! Liverpool are the Premier League champions for 2019-20! Come on! Yes! Bring it on! Bring it on! Bring it home!
No,
Liverpool are the champions! Liverpool are your Premier League champions! Oh my God almighty!
It's fucking cool as fuck, like, you know what I mean? We've documented this part of Liverpool's history. Nearly 10% of Liverpool's history as a football club we've documented in some fucking way, shape or form. Isn't that fucking balmy?
And you know what, I've never even thought of it from that perspective. That's absolutely insane. I feel as old as I am. No, because I've often said that,
and it will be more than 10% at some point, Paul.
Most of the content we produce has been garbage. I mean, there's nothing like that stands out about it. It's not memorable. A lot of it's just us talking about the game and the next game and the next game, and I love it, and you know, people enjoy it, and that's cool. But there's no, like, you know what I mean, it's not earth shattering content. But when we've been able, I agree with that, and it's one thing I like, and I actually like the fact, again, that I know people have got issues with phones at football matches and people recording stuff at games and stuff, and people still do, and I still get the occasional person make mention of it to me. But, like, I love the fact that all the people around me, my season ticket and the cop, are all on board, that they don't care, they embrace it, because they also know I don't put stuff out when we lose. I never wanted to make pricks of anyone, because God knows we've certainly made those mistakes along the way and had to learn those lessons. But I like the fact that there's a social history to it. I like the fact that, look, people will do it for a whole host of reasons. You know, you know, how many gigs have you been to and you record a fucking song and never look at them videos ever again? That's what 99% of people filming stuff at the match will be like. But I love the fact that it gets to live on. So if you want to go and look back at a moment, it's there. And if you want, you know, when we're making documentaries after the fact, we're in the ground. And when that COVID stuff happened, it was hilarious how many production companies came banging on our door saying, can we have your footage? Can we have this? And can we have that? Because, yeah, you know, that was, it feels mad to have been a part. What I love, in addition, sorry, is that, you know, we're in our 13th year. So there's people now, there's adults now who are watching what we do that were children when we started out, and I find that so bizarre, because I don't feel any older in my head.
No, I've got one. There's a fella who emailed us this week, and he's like, I've been watching you since I was a kid. I mean, I'm doing my university thing now, and I've always wanted to do an interview with you on it. So I was like, yeah, absolutely sound right. But the thing of, he started when he was like under 10, and he's watched us the entire time, and now he's at university, and he's going to do something on fucking us. It's mad, like.
Well, cool. we've got people who work for us now, who, again, you know, 13 years ago, what's Chloe, 21?
She's going to Yellow Shop.
Yeah, she'd be going to the soft plays that we took our kids to. You know what I mean? Like, that's mad. But that's, yeah, I find that so weird. But I love the fact that, again, people, like, I always say every show is someone's first show. So I love the fact that we, you know, we've got people who go, I've been a big fan since, and it could be 2 years ago, or it might be a year, or, you know, everyone's got the moment where they, and if you've come on board and you've stuck with it, you guys are fucking amazing. to get a bit emotional about the whole thing. You know, you put a great tweet out about it when we made the threshold and battered mine. But like the how life changing the whole thing has been, and it's not been easy. It's been horrendous. Like, I mean, it's been such a, you know, it's been hard work along the way, and the worst times. Those early days under Hodgson, we used to lose, and I'd just go, fuck it, I'm just not doing a video. I was hungover one day, I think we drew with Bolton, and like around New Year's or something, and I was like, I just can't be asked, fuck it, I'm just not going to do it. And now it's like, it's podcasts and social media channels and fucking, you know, documentaries and videos and all these kind of, it's a mad little industry that's kind of cropped up, and all the things that have gone, we've had to give up along the way, but like, you know, you were a restaurant manager, I was working part-time for you in that restaurant in our first year and a half of being on YouTube to being like, I can't remember how long it's been. I've been full time on it now. It's and we've, you know, we've been
nine.
To,
You're coming up on 10, aren't you? It's 2013.
We've been, you know, around the world watching Liverpool. We went from covering the worst, most trophy barren period of Liverpool's history to one of its richest veins in the last 7 years as well. Like, yeah,
madness, isn't it? Absolutely madness. Thank you so much.
Heavy.
Heavy
stuff. Yeah, if you've got any more moments that we've not covered, then yeah, please feel free to drop them in the comments. Or if you're in the Discord, you can drop them in there as well.
Why we hate Man United was one of my favourites from the early days.
And if there's one person, while we're on the subject, that embodies everything that I hate about Manchester United Football Club, it's that wrinkly, frog-faced, whiskey-nosed Gerard insulting, autobiography-bashing, 13 Premier League title-winning scumbag of a mind game, BBC ignoring, Terry feeling, loving Rafa, hating, pitch knocking pricks, Alexander, Chapman, Ferguson, or cunt for short.
Again, the stuff. You think about who we like used to work alongside at the time, and it was like the Football Republic was there for a time. Obviously, Ball Street had their stuff in the days when we used to work really tightly with them, and like that kind of content, you'd make specific like mad. Weird wind up content shit. for get your head of games and stuff, and now we just sit in the room and chat about the Reds and occasionally, you know, go outside. Mad. Listen, from the bottom of my heart, thank you so much to each and every one of you who has subscribed. And we always say, obviously, that we launched, you know, Red Men back in the summer of 2010. It was a failed LFC TV pilot. We realised no one was going to pick it up. Sky didn't want it. LFC TV didn't want it, but apparently you guys did. So to everyone who's watched it, and of course to the people who've gone on to join Red Men Plus off the back of it, which is ultimately the enterprise that funds the whole thing. I say this often, not to get preachy about it, whatever, but the best stuff we do is on there. Being the fact that Plus exists is what gives us the finances to put free content out on YouTube. You know, that end of that first year, we had a choice. We either put the paywall in place or it basically died. So we, you know, we took that big plunge, and it seems to have worked, and people seem to get on with it, and we're still here nearly 13 years later. So yeah, if you haven't checked it out on redmanplus.com, then do. If you haven't, you're an existing subscriber, then you guys are the world. You know how much you mean to us. You're the best. Chris, any final words before we head?
Yeah, it's to the next 500,000.
Wow, how many years is that going to take? Be 50 by the time we get
to... I don't know. I reckon I'll be fat three times in the time it takes.
super heavyweight division here.
I have to get thin first. I'll probably just get bigger.
Get a tapeworm for a
I'll
bit.
Be bald by the time we've got 1,000,000. I promise you. And if we're not, I will shave it off for the last time.
Okay. Sounds. The road to 1,000,000 begins here. If you
haven't
subscribed,
I open my mouth?
To YouTube... Mate, we'll cross this bridge. We'll cross this bridge in a decade.
Look at that, lad. Fucking hell, mate. It's so fucking far back
it's
now.
It's still your baby face, though, so it'll be fine.
That's not good, is it? I look like a fat Steo with glasses.
Damn it.
Oh, well.
Handsome.
Thanks, everybody.
Love you guys so much. Here's to another 10 years plus of madness. Yeah, your boss. Drop a like if you're watching this after the fact on YouTube. If you're a Club Legend subscriber, then you're even better than everyone else. And yeah, have an absolutely amazing time. Yeah, the road to 1,000,000 begins here. Ta-da.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.